If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Psalm 85. Before we move down to the communion table, I want to challenge you with something I have been challenged with recently that I think may help us, just like with our prayer requests, begin the year all on the same page. Psalm 85. Follow along, please, as I read. O Lord, you showed favor to your land. You restored the captivity of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your fury. You turned away your burning anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear that God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before him and will make his footsteps into a way. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts this morning before your word. And before we approach this table of remembrance, may this portion of your word help to prepare us as we remember again the great gift offered by grace through faith to us. And the possibility of revival among your people. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revive us again. Signs of need for revival. This last year, we've been praying for revival. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. From Proverbs, Jesus told his disciples, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's supposed to be the goal. That's supposed to be the focus of his people. But signs of need for revival, first, perhaps, and foremost, questioning, ignoring the inspiration and authority of Scripture. Now you say, well, that's not us. All you ever teach from is the Bible, Pastor. And even when we have time to come on Wednesday night or to something else, they're all using the Bible. Yes, that's right. Standing on a foundation of many men who came before us. But that's not always been the case, nor is it everywhere the case. As we mentioned last week, you know, sometimes when someone says, the Bible says, they're being sarcastic. They're about to ridicule the old book, the old way of doing things, the narrow way, the provincial way. But when we say the Bible says, we're saying this is what God says. This is his authority. When the church, and remember, revival is all about God's people, genuine believers, who have chosen to refocus themselves in the mission that they have been given. When we get careless, thoughtless, neglectful of the Word of God, that's a sure sign that the church needs revival. Secondly, declining dependence upon God. Well, if you're not going to depend on God, who are you going to depend on? Men? Noted? Well-educated? Because sometimes we take the focus off of what we're supposed to be doing, and we focus on how well-educated a man may be, or his pedigree, instead of simply being dependent upon God. We live in a very affluent society. I don't think any one of you will disagree with this statement. You are among the most affluent people. You are one of the most affluent persons in the world. You are. You say, oh, no, wait a minute, Pastor. A lot of people make a lot more than I do. Yeah, but there are many, 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 many more who make a whole lot less, who live on a whole lot less. We have all been greatly blessed, but there is a curse that goes with that. We can be tempted to think the bigger the bank balance, the less dependent we have to be upon God. Oh, now we may get very, very spiritual and say, well, God provided all of that. And that is absolutely true. But if it takes your focus off of Him, your dependence off of Him, then it can be disastrous. And another indication that we need revival. And the third, and this list is not inclusive by any means, but social action at the expense of the mission, edification, and evangelism. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that there is no place for social action. But this is how it's supposed to work. Now, I know these may seem like somewhat fancy terms. Edification, a biblical word for growing, maturing. One of the jobs of the church, if it's twofold, one is to teach believers, Christians, so that they grow up, so that they mature. And mature believers are going to want to share their faith, so the second mission is evangelism. Now, does that mean that the church is not going to get involved in civil rights? No. Abortion? No. Poverty? Political action? No. But at the end of the day, the church must not be responsible for getting everybody up to a 21st century approach to social action and forget to share the gospel. If you haven't taken racism out of the heart of an individual and replaced it with the love of God, that man is still headed to hell. So if we are teaching and evangelizing, then as individuals, we may very well get involved in these peripheral issues, important issues, but never lose sight of the issue that the goal is the eternal salvation of a human soul. The source for this revival, verse 4, restore us, O God of our salvation. God is the source of our salvation. He's also the power behind the revival. So there's no need to try and manufacture it. We don't have to, not that it can't be valuable, we don't have to bring in someone else. We don't have to bring in a group. We don't have to bring in great singers. We don't have to bring in a lot of others to produce revival. Oh, you may produce some of the trappings of it, but just as God is the source for our salvation, if God is not involved, there will be no true revival. Because again, remember, we're talking about believers being refocused on the mission, edification and evangelism. Worship will result. Verse 6, will you not yourself revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? If you're struggling with worship, you need revival. If God is working in your heart and reviving your heart, you will worship. And I don't mean necessarily grab a hymnal and start singing a song. I mean continually thinking in terms of who God is and how great He is and how awesome He is. You'll be able to more easily practice the very presence of God so that as things happen and when they happen, you can talk with Him about them. Because you remember that He's right there and you're right in His presence. Because a revived heart will worship. A revived heart understands who's in control, who has the authority. Verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will say. And the psalmist is not being repetitive without purpose. Your Bible may be like mine. Uses the word God and only capitalizes the G. Uses the word Lord and capitalizes all four letters. That's because he's used two different words for the same person. That second word is the covenant term that God gave to Israel through Moses. The God who is. It's not just God, he's the God who is. And the God who is the supreme authority. Just as I prayed earlier, we can have confidence in the fact that God is sovereign, that he is in control. Oh yes, I watch the nightly news too regularly. But not because I'm wondering who's in control today. Or who's going to win the day. I already know. So who is in control? And then the attitude with which you approach God. Surely, verse 9, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. And I can almost never read the word fear. Old Testament, New Testament, I can almost never read the word fear without thinking of my teacher, mentor, Max. You see, I grew up thinking that fear in the Bible always simply meant reverence, honor, which is true. That is what the word means. But Max, bless his heart, can never read that word without thinking also that we need to have a fear of God simply because of who he is and how awesome he is. And judgment. And it's taken me a long time to put those two ideas together. In part because the best illustration is parenthood, and there are so few good examples. But our loving Heavenly Father loves us. He is still God of the universe, Creator God, Holy God. But he loves us. And you know, the same Word of God also says that he disciplines those whom he loves. And see, that's where that idea of parenthood comes in. Good parents love their children unconditionally, but will not hesitate to discipline when necessary. And God's the best. And so I fear him. I reverence him. He is holy. He is awesome. But I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to be at the end of his discipline. Because I know he will do anything to straighten me out. My parents would have done anything to straighten me out. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Sometimes they were at the end of their rope. God's never at the end of his rope. And he never gives up. He never quits. I don't want to be at the end of that. So I fear him. That's the attitude that we should have toward God. And the result, verse 10, loving kindness and truth have met together. Again, loving kindness, your Bible maybe says mercy. It's a little three-letter Hebrew word, but loving kindness. And truth. God loves us unconditionally, but his truth still stands. And a revived heart will understand and be thankful for that love, that mercy. But understand that it is bolstered by the unchanging, unwavering truth of God. So when my heart is revived, I'm drawn to his word. When I need to be revived is when I've been ignoring his word. Whether it's taking time to read it, or taking time to think about it, or taking the time to apply it, my attitude towards God's word will reveal the need of my heart. Now again, we prayed all last year for revival. Maybe some of what has happened over the last 9 months was designed, if not to prepare us for revival, maybe for some of us, bring us to revival. Sometimes when we are so confused and wondering what in the world is going on, that's when God's people should be drawn to his word. And maybe you were. Maybe you've spent more time in the Bible this last year than ever before because of what's been going on. Maybe you need to. Maybe some of you are paving the way for the revival that we need. Maybe others of us need to catch up and recognize the need for, the desire for revival. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for its truthfulness. And I pray, Father, that I've handled it accurately. Israel went through a series of national revivals. Our country has gone through a series of national revivals. But they all began on the local level with a family, with a man's heart, an individual church, a community of churches, and just grew from there. Because just as you are the source of our salvation, you are also the source of our revival. If we'll pay attention, you will tell us when we need reviving. So our simple prayer is this: revive us again, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.